When you think about web presence, it's sort of what it sounds like. It's your website. And, you know, the website has evolved over the years. I'll talk a little bit about what that evolution has been and what that's meant. But then it's everything you do. If the website is sort of the center of your solar system, everything else you do, your social media, your blogs, your videos, your cadence of how you communicate, welcome, that's all part of your web presence. And it really involves looking at who you're trying to engage, what are you going to share with them, where are you going to share that content, and then how frequently are you going to update that. Now, you know, originally, so just to backtrack a little bit, you know, the website started out, there was sort of a glossy brochure, you know, for those of us who are old enough to remember when websites were a new thing. And then over time, they really became sort of a, and again, you have to reach back to remember this, a card catalog of everything the not-for-profit did, and everything could be found there. And that also was consistent with the way the not-for-profits, they're so passionate. Everything we do is very important. We want to share around it. But the new website really tracks what we're seeing in social media and in our relationships in the for-profit sector, which is, it's much more transactional. Now, sometimes that can be a negative phrase, but transactional in the sense that you need to engage your users, your donors, the folks, the members, the people who rely on you. And what that looks like is very different than it has in the past. It means that you're much more active. It means that there's much more going back and forth, but it also means that there are more risks in doing that. So that's kind of how we get to where we are today. You know, just to give a little bit of an example, and, you know, first, it feels obligatory in these settings just to remind folks how ubiquitous some of these tools are, but it's amazing to me every time I looked at the statistics, they go up by 500 million. You know, Facebook users, you know, there's 2.5 billion a month. YouTube, 2 billion a month. You know, dropping down to Twitter, a little less, as ubiquitous as it is, 330 million. LinkedIn has 300 million. I'm curious, how many of you have visited LinkedIn in the last week or two? Yeah, a lot. How about YouTube? This morning, okay, my son sent me a link. So we're all using it. We're all using it all the time. For us, looking at just marching through this a little bit and really to prompt all of you to do the same, which is first, as the legal or finance or operational professionals, we often don't know what's going on. So, you know, at AAO, when I joined, I had to learn our main audiences. For example, ours are our members and the public. But then beyond that, there are medical students and residents. There are exhibitors at our meeting. There are investors in new technologies. Potential employees is a huge one for all of us. And we have a new local audience ourselves for a museum of the eye. Now, what do we share with them? We share educational content. We publish multiple medical journals, the text that all residents use for training on eye surgery and training videos. We've got over 3,000 of those. Information about our annual meeting, about fundraising for volunteers, for folks who have to find an eye surgeon. Advocacy, so how to protect the profession. And, of course, blog content and forums. So it's a lot. And I suspect there's a lot that your org is doing. And one of the first things you can do is take an inventory of that. For us, in terms of where do we share it? We share it on our website, we share it in social media, and in terms of the cadence, for example, we post on Facebook daily, Twitter also daily, Instagram a couple of times a week, LinkedIn a few times a month, and YouTube, it really depends whenever we have a video, so a few a month. But we're considered rather conservative. I mean, there are orgs that are tweeting all the time. I recommend to you, just for amusement, if nothing else, an article in the New Yorker this month about the New Jersey Gov Twitter account, which apparently was famous because on Christmas Eve, one of the tweets was, "Are you up?" And which I guess is how young people talk to each other on Twitter now, or if you are a young person running New Jersey State's Twitter. And someone replied, "Who gave New Jersey a Twitter account?" And the response was, "Your mama." And so they got a million likes. And the New Jersey governor was bragging that his children thought, you know, our Twitter's on fire. So the way people communicate and the ubiquity of it is different than what a lot of us grew up with or what we expect. So I'm going to, with that kind of background of, oh, yeah, jump in, please.
Could you repeat the frequency that you just did on Facebook?
Sure. So we do Facebook and Twitter daily, Instagram a couple of times a week, and we're relatively new to Instagram in the last year or so, LinkedIn a few times a month. We hope to increase that. We found that it's becoming very important for recruiting. And then YouTube, it really depends, but when you average it out, it's about a few a month.
Okay.
curious, others have anyone want to talk about, they have a heavier cadence, a lighter cadence? This may come up as we talk more.
You go ahead. Your use of